Welcome to Mindset for Medical Moms. I'm your host, Courtney Given, fellow medical mom and life coach. I'm here to help you handle everything from doctor's appointments to surgery so you can feel confidence and peace as you navigate the ups and downs of medical motherhood. This podcast will share strategies and real life tools to strengthen your mindset and increase your emotional resilience. I'm so glad you're here. Let's go. Hello, beautiful medical moms. Welcome back to the podcast. We are going to talk about needs. And every time this conversation comes up with a client, we inevitably talk about being needy. And I want to start this podcast by saying you are not needy in the sense of the insult that is often thrown around, especially at women. Women are so socialized to not have needs that seeing themselves as needy is one of the worst things you can say to a woman. You're so needy. Even saying it out loud still makes me cringe. Even when I've made peace with my needs, and someone saying that to me now would still offend me because I want to be offended when someone is rude, but it doesn't hold the same weight. It's still that like cringe, like, gosh, why is that so insulting? But it doesn't hold the same weight because I know now not to take it personally, because we all have needs. Every human on earth have needs. The difference is that men are socialized to go after their needs much differently than women. And the other thing is that our needs change regularly. Before I really understood my own personal needs, I often thought of them as like love languages. Like, I already have beef with love languages, but to simplify this example, when someone is like, well, my love language is affirmations, right? Or words of affirmation. So when you expect your partner to know what to say, I just assumed that, you know, this was like a set in stone thing, and that when you have these quote unquote needs in your life, it's just like your love language. Like, this is something that you have to have or things will not work out. And that's not true for both love languages or for your needs. Because what happens is there are things that will stop you from getting your needs met, but most of them are in your control to getting them met. And I want to help you identify and meet your needs, because so many women, especially in the medical mom community, put themselves on the back burner because we have, one, been taught that that's what good mothers do. Good mothers are not needy. Good mothers put their kids before them. Good mothers, they just put themselves on the back burner as little as possible. And when that happens, you are burnt out. You find yourself needing so much that you get so overwhelmed with the idea of like, what are my needs? I don't know, everything. I want 10 hours of TV time and 2 weeks of sleep and 5 weeks of vacation and a whole day to myself at Disneyland. And like, you want adventure and fun and creativity all at the same time. And so when you do find yourself having alone time, which may be something that you need or want regularly in your life, you don't know even know how to spend your time because you're so overwhelmed with the possibility of how to spend an hour or two. And then you don't do anything of significance, and then you feel guilty, and then you feel like you wasted your time, and then you don't feel like you have your needs met, and then you just feel burnt out again the next day, and you start resenting your partner, or your children, or yourself. And it's just this whole cycle of things, because that's how I felt too. And it's important to know that as a child, it was someone else's job to notice your needs and take care of them. At very minimum, your parent or your caregiver or the adults around you were supposed to notice your needs, like hunger or cleanliness, sleep, those basic physical needs, and take care of those. Even though my kids throw big tantrums every time I say they're so surprised that it's bedtime, not all the time, but the surprise of bedtime always catches them off guard. And when I enforce that, they get upset with me, especially my 9-year-old. She always wants to like really push the boundaries of bedtime. And she's always been kind of a night owl. And she always asks me, but why do we have to go to sleep? Why do we have to go to sleep? And in my mind, underneath the annoyance of having to put her back to bed again and again and again, I know that this is the best thing I can do for her needs, is take care of her in this aspect, is giving her a bedtime, giving her structure. And as she gets older, she can learn how to take care of this part of her life herself. But for a lot of us, we may not have gotten that kind of structure. I know I didn't. I did not get that as a child. And when you were a child, you may not have gotten all your needs fully met by those around you. And this hurts. This is difficult. This can be a form of trauma. I was neglected as a child, and I didn't even understand the extent of the impact it had on me until recently, in the last 2 years or so, as I've worked through this trauma. And the transition from being a child to where adults were responsible for you, to being responsible for your own needs, can feel a bit messy when you never got those needs met from those adults in the first place, or you were never taught to take care of yourself in those ways. Because it's not just what happened to you, but it's also what didn't happen to you as a child that can be difficult. And so that can also be part of the struggle because part of you might be still waiting for other people to just notice your needs. You might still be in that place of like, my needs are other people's responsibility. My kids should recognize my needs. My spouse should recognize my needs. And this is not true. The most healing thing I've done is really dig into my needs and find ways to fulfill them as simply as possible. And I really do mean simply. The very first thing I want you to think of when you're listening to this episode is take all of my advice and just make it as simple in your life as possible. Everything that I'm saying, I want you to make sure that you're only taking away the most simple aspects of this, because I realized that I was often overcomplicating the whole needs thing because I was neglecting so many of my needs and I hadn't even realized it. There were areas of my life where I was thinking, like, oh, this is really what I need, when in reality, I didn't need it as much as I thought. It was just this like swinging motion of trying to get as much alone time as possible and then going days and days without, fulfilling a need of alone time or just being really overstimulated without recognizing that I was overstimulated and feeling burnt out. And then all of a sudden, like snapping at everyone and being like, ah, I'm freaking out because I had not met my needs. And this is what happens when you get overwhelmed or when you're really stressed out and you have needs in those moments, but you don't have the vocabulary or habits of taking care of yourself and communicating your needs. The most common reason you are not getting your needs met is that you don't know what your needs even are. If you expect others to just know what you need, this is setting yourself up for failure. And it comes from that mindset of like, other people are just supposed to know what I need. Like, well, you should just know. No, I disagree with this. Even if you've been in the same relationship for years and years, you definitely know that person well, but needs change regularly. And the better you can get at understanding your own needs and recognizing and identifying them, the easier it's going to be for you to figure out how to fulfill those needs. And the thing is that your needs are both sometimes actions that you need to perform, like eating, and also emotions that you want to feel. And this is what happens when we are feeling stressed out and we don't want to feel stressed out. So instead, we eat, right? We're going to go eat to feel better. And we think this is fulfilling our needs, but in reality, it's just kind of putting a band-aid over our needs. When we are overwhelmed, we might avoid people or just ignore people in our lives, just like avoid the conflicts or avoid the stressful situation and call that a boundary when in reality we're just ignoring things so that we don't have to feel the feelings that are coming up for us. Emotional regulation is a need. Being able to healthily identify what your needs are comes from also being able to identify your emotions. So when you are asked, or when you ask yourself, what are the things I need? A lot of times it's going to be like, okay, well, I want to feel this way. Specific way, I want to feel happy. I want to feel relaxed or stress-free or not as overwhelmed. And those things are really important to recognize. And also, it's important to know that your emotions are created by how you are thinking. So, your thoughts during these times are going to be part of that identifying your needs, right? Part of it is identifying what you need and what you were thinking in those moments. This is why, when you're stressed out, you might think that you just need to relax with food versus something that might not be food. That might vary person to person. For me, I simply just had to start asking myself if I was hungry. And if the answer was no, I didn't eat. And this was, yes, very difficult. This was probably the hardest thing that I have learned how to do, but it wasn't fulfilling my need. It wasn't actually fulfilling my need. I wanted to feel less overwhelmed, and instead of eating, I would do things that actually stopped me from feeling overwhelmed, which was one, holding space for that emotion, that experience of experiencing overwhelm, the sensations in my body, and two, considering how I can take care of myself through experiencing those emotions. Like, what does my body need in this moment? How can I help myself feel this overwhelmed? And often for me, it means sitting down or laying in bed for a few minutes, finding some alone time, literally for a few minutes, sitting in the bathroom for a few minutes by myself. Walking outside away from my children will help me feel that. Because I don't actually need a treat. I need space to regulate myself. It is your job to know what you need, even if you need someone else to fulfill that need, right? Even if it's like, I want to be complimented more in my marriage, or I need someone to validate my feelings right now. It's your job to recognize what that need is so that you can articulate that to other people. And once you know what a handful of your needs are, the second thing that will stop you from getting your needs met is shame. Because that combination of maybe not getting all of your needs met in childhood and also just the socialization that women go through of not having needs, like the best mom is the selfless mom, the one that just finds all of her fulfillment through motherhood, is this like unrealistic version of motherhood because every one of us has needs. And I'm not talking about like being a stay-at-home mom versus like a working mom or any of those kinds of things. I'm just saying that like we are taught and fed a lot of lies about what it is to be a good mom. And having shame about speaking your needs out loud stops you from speaking out loud. Even if you've identified your needs, like compliments, like I really would like some more words of affirmation in my life, or compliments from my husband, or some validation from a friend, you might have some ideas of what that means about you. So ask yourself, what does this mean about me if I need this thing or I want this thing? And you might have a list of things like you're needy or you are too much or you're just, searching for confirmation of your worth from another person and that's bad and blah, blah, blah. Like, you might have all of these thoughts about the things you need. And that shame will stop you from saying them out loud, which inevitably guarantees that you do not get your needs met. It's a guarantee. You might feel ashamed for needing alone time, right? Maybe it's not even like speaking, but just the need of being out of the hospital. How many of us have needed to get out of the hospital and felt so ashamed for needing a break from the space because you believe you should be strong enough, quote unquote, to be there for your child inside the hospital the whole time? And that's why I want you to notice how you feel when you consider your needs. What comes up for you when you start identifying your needs? We need to unpack that layer so that you can recognize if it's shame that's stopping you. Another reason is that you feel guilty for asking for what you need. Maybe you've noticed your needs and you don't feel shame, but then you start talking them to your partner and you feel really guilty. Or you get what you want and you feel guilty. For example, you tell your partner you want an afternoon to yourself so they get the kids out of the house and you pull out a book and wham, you're just hit with guilt about you being selfish and needy and a bad mom, and you just feel like you can't even enjoy the alone time you have because you feel like you shouldn't even have it in the first place. This is just another messaging about what it means to have needs as a person. And you are allowed to have needs, and you are allowed to fulfill those needs, and it does not make you a bad mom or it does not make you a bad person. In fact, I believe the more you can recognize your needs and find ways to make those possible throughout your life or throughout your day, you are going to be more of who you are, the best versions of you, who you are, because you are nurturing yourself. You are taking care of yourself. You are not neglecting yourself. You're not abandoning yourself. How you think about your needs is what you've been taught about women who take care of themselves. And oftentimes, the version of women taking care of themselves is ignoring themselves. The way I saw an ideal mother as a teenager was basically a woman who erased herself from needing anything at all, right? They just figured out how not to need things, and that the best moms were fulfilled by raising their children, and they just didn't have needs of their own. And I really believed that. Once I became a mom, that would be just be like the ultimate fulfilling thing. And all it did was set me up for very unrealistic expectations around motherhood and for resentment and shame and neglecting myself. And I struggled, especially with my first child, so much with mom shame and mom guilt. Like every single thing I did, I felt so guilty for. But that was because I had this very warped understanding of what it meant to be a mother. And that especially happens in the medical mom community when you're acting as a caregiver for your children and you're always running that to-do list of your children's needs. So the goal for this episode is for you to help, is to help yourself think about your needs differently, first and foremost. What are your current thoughts about needs and fulfilling those needs? Where in your needs do you, I'm going to say needs in this episode so much, it's going to sound like a Dr. Seuss word. Where in your life do you fit in your needs? How do you fulfill your needs? Do you feel guilty when you do this? Does shame come up for your needs? This can also be sneaky when you're like, I'm allowed to have an hour alone time, but I can't have 3 hours of alone time. or whatever it is, right? I keep using alone time because that is like something that I really value, but it could be something different for you. And the biggest hurdle of all, the one thing that will prevent almost everyone from fulfilling their needs well. So let's say you already know what your needs are. You have identified them and communicated them, and you're really good at those things. But the biggest hurdle of all is perfectionism. Because the reality is that you're not going to be able to meet all of your needs all of the time. It's just not going to happen. And perfectionism will tell you that it doesn't count if you can't do it all, right? It's very all or nothing thinking. If you can't fulfill all your needs all of the time, what's the point? What's the point of reading for half an hour if you don't get to read the entire book? What's the point of being alone at Costco? You don't get alone time without doing a chore or labor, so it doesn't count. And I'm not saying that Costco should be your only alone time or going grocery shopping should be your only alone time, but I am a very practical person, and reality is that sometimes grocery shopping is going to be the alone time. And you can have that be fulfilling. You can have that be counting towards filling up your bucket because it's not about necessarily the action you're taking, but what you're making it mean about you and recharging yourself. Again, I'm not saying that grocery shopping should be the most fulfilling thing that happens in your day, but I'm saying that sometimes it can be. When push comes to shove, Costco might be the only alone time I get during the day. And I might as well enjoy that. But perfectionism is what stops you and says, no, you can't enjoy that because that's not true alone time. And that's true, okay? That's hard to argue with when your brain is like, is that actually alone time? Maybe for this day, that's what it looks like. But we will get so caught up in the perfectionism of what it looks like to fulfill our needs so perfectly that you don't meet your needs regularly enough. It will prevent you from actually taking the small amounts of time in your day to meet your needs. Like, oh yeah, going outside for 5 minutes to have alone time or a quick breather is not going to do much for me, so I'm going to ignore that and not do that. Or communicating my needs to my husband is actually too much effort and I don't feel like doing it, so I'm not going to do it because he's probably not going to understand, right? Like you think these things and they prevent you from taking care of your needs. So I want to back up and I want to start with the first one is figuring out your needs and what they are. And I really want to emphasize that we're going for simplicity. We're not going to overcomplicate needs. I'm just going to read a list. I Googled a bunch of different lists and then I made this list of different things that I thought were interesting or helpful. I think a variety of things that you can identify your needs with. But you can go on Google and just put like list of human needs and read through a bunch of different ideas and it will help you start understanding what it means to fulfill your needs. And so here are some. Connection and belonging. This is one of the most important needs that humans have, and it actually has a huge relationship with trauma. One of the most indications of whether an event is traumatic is if you had connection through the event. And an event is less likely to be traumatic if you had connection. And that means support or someone to be there with you, like someone to talk to about things with you. And that's why I love what I do because I get to help people in difficult positions as a life coach. But connection really can determine if something is more or less traumatizing if you have the right support. And sometimes things are not traumatizing, they're just incredibly difficult, right? There are things in our life that are just very difficult but not traumatizing, and that can be often determined by connection. And so we look for connection in all different areas of our life, and you might not feel as connected, or you might not feel like you belong somewhere in your family, your community, your social group. Those are all things that will help you feel loved and connected and seen. The next thing is love and affection. Feeling loved, valued, or cared for is another essential emotional part of your well-being. And this can come from anything. I don't want you to say that you can only feel loved from a like your romantic partner. You can feel loved from family, friends, neighbors, pets, anything. And as I'm listing these things, you can ask yourself, when was the last time I felt really loved? Or when was the last time feeling like I was loved came up? And what made me feel loved, right? Self-reflection is going to help you identify your needs. How do I feel loved? When do I feel most loved and cared for? Another one is validation and acceptance. Safety and security, autonomy and independence, finding meaning and purpose, recognition, appreciation, validation, physical touch, growth or development, stability and routine, hope and optimism. Those are important things to have and develop as a human. All of these things can be expanded on, but I just wanted to give you guys a handful of ideas of how to consider your needs. And if something stood out to you, you can ask yourself, yeah, autonomy is actually important to me. When was the last time I felt autonomy over my life or body, or being able to have independence to make choices and like pursue my goals? Individuality is important to us. And being able to recognize when you feel that way and seeing, or maybe if you've never felt that way, you could ask yourself like, oh, in this position, I just wanted to have more independence, or I wanted to have more autonomy in this situation. And this can help you reflect on situations where you didn't get that need met so that you can understand why and how you can fulfill that for yourself. Especially in doctor's appointments, I find that this one can be particularly with like understanding how to talk to staff about your needs can help fulfill your needs. Like being able to communicate with nurses in the hospital or even at doctors at appointments and being able to address your concerns or ask for testing or second opinions, or being able to just ask questions that you have confidently can help fulfill your need of autonomy and independence for taking care of your child. Like you can find more meaning and purpose in that. And so now you're fulfilling multiple needs at once because you are identifying other needs. And so it's a really great domino effect. Of course, there are also physical needs like food and water and sleep and shelter and clothing. And those are also important to make sure that you are getting in your life and identifying, because we all know how it feels to be hangry and to notice our needs. And I think that's brings up an important thing. When someone says you have to notice your needs, it means like think about the last time you were hungry and you noticed it. That's what I mean by noticing yourself. Of course, we can notice our hunger or thirst, but sometimes we don't. Sometimes we can, you might be ignoring your hunger in the name of some doing something else for your children or other people. And this is something to consider. Why? Right? It's not inherently bad, but it's definitely something to consider. Like, when am I ignoring my needs? Is it for a reason I'm okay with? Like, what are my reasons? And do I like those reasons? If you like your reasons, then do it. But if your reasons aren't actually that compelling, you might want to consider why you're doing those things in the first place. And lastly, emotional safety is something I want to touch on, because emotional safety is definitely a need for humans. And cultivating emotional safety always starts with ourselves, especially if you're an adult. And again, this might be difficult for you because you might be waiting for other people to create it for you. And you might not always feel safe especially as a medical mom, because emotional safety comes from our emotions, and our emotions are up and down. Right? We can experience a wide range of feelings, but emotional safety comes from trust, and it starts from self-trust and trusting those around you, of course. But when you can accept your own emotions and communicate to yourself and to others those emotions, and have empathy for yourself and other people and set boundaries, you will increase your emotional safety. All of those things are going to be cultivated by paying attention to ourselves and reflecting. Self-reflection is going to be your number one tool when identifying your needs. This is how you can notice and catch those shame-inducing thoughts and notice that inner critic that comes up if you have spent time alone or says that you're selfish or bad for needing things or having even emotions. So you can reflect on a time that you were overwhelmed and you can ask yourself, what did I need in that moment? And we're not going to think that you needed food. Maybe you did. Maybe you were overwhelmed because you were hangry. But if you weren't hungry, what did you need then? Did you need someone to reassure you? Did you need reassurance yourself? Did you need to just talk about things? Sometimes I don't even want validation. I'm a verbal processor. So I just need to talk about it out loud. And hearing it reflected back to me in an empathetic way is really valuable for me. And note, I am not talking about changing your circumstances because, as medical moms, there are so many circumstances you're going to face that are not changeable. And you can still find ways to fit your needs. And this self-reflection will teach you so much about what you need. When was the last time you were stressed out? What did you need? When was the last time you felt like your needs were met? And what was happening then? Every day is going to look a little bit different. Some days you're going to be able to fulfill a lot of your needs, and some you might only fill the sleep need, right? And obviously eat. Please eat. But the first thing I want you to become aware of when it comes to perfectionism is how often you start negotiating with what counts as fulfilling your needs or not. What stops you from feeling satisfied from your alone time? What stops you or prevents you from feeling like this was enough for me? And often, I think what happens is that you're coming from a place of already feeling depleted or burnt out. And so, when you do take an hour of alone time, like you've said, okay, I really need alone time in this season of my life. So, I've already talked to my partner and I've arranged it. And, or after the kids go to bed, I am going to be completely shut off. I'm putting on my do not disturb notifications, I'm locking my bedroom door, and I am being alone. But what stops you from thinking that that's enough is that you might not have had alone time in weeks because you haven't been able to prioritize that, or life has been busy. And what happens is you spend that time alone and you don't actually feel like it changed much immediately because we think fulfilling our needs is going to somehow just make everything perfect. Everything all of a sudden is easy. Everything feels so nice and relaxed. And just, you think that there's this like fantasy version of life that eventually everything should just be easy and smooth. And again, this is a fantasy. This is a byproduct of perfectionism. I used to think perfectionism was like a personality trait, but I actually just think that it's a way of thinking. It is a socialization that we all go through, where we think perfection is the goal, when in reality, not only does it not exist, but it is really harmful, especially to women and moms. Perfectionism is believing that there is one specific right way to do things, and if you don't or can't do it that way, then it's not worth doing. And I want you to recognize when this happens to you so that you can throw it right out the window. It's not worth hanging on to. It is not a helpful belief. And if you are a recovering perfectionist, it is often based in fear. Fear of what other people will think, fear of not having enough, right? That scarcity in there. And this is what happens when you are depleted and you haven't been really recognizing your needs, and or you just haven't had the time to like sit down. And I'm not, this is not a negative thing. If you haven't been able to figure out your needs, me freaking too. It is hard. So when you are figuring things out, don't shame yourself for not knowing. Okay? That just is defeating the purpose of this whole activity and this podcast. Don't shame yourself or judge yourself. Instead, I want you to be curious about your needs. Be curious and also be aware of the perfectionism that might be playing in your mind and saying, this actually doesn't count because I could hear my kids when my partner said I could have alone time. And because I could hear them running around in the backyard, I actually wasn't able to relax fully. And so therefore, my alone time didn't count. And my question to that is, when does it count? Are you willing to constantly put up higher and higher unrealistic expectations around your needs so that they only count once in a blue moon? Is it, I'm thinking, what is a blue moon? I don't think I've ever seen a blue moon. That phrase is so random. I'm going to Google that after this episode. Once in a blue moon, you might get the perfect combination of things that go your way, but why wait for those rare times and instead find ways to make the time you have good enough? Find ways that can make things satisfying. Because this idea actually prevents us from enjoying day-to-day life. It prevents you from being grateful for the things you do have in front of you that are going well, the ways you are taking care of yourself. And reality is, we just can't do everything all at once. We can't do all the hobbies and all the crafts and have all the extracurriculars for ourselves to fulfill all of those things that you see other people doing. And especially as a medical mom, your time is limited. You have a lot of things that you're juggling. And just being very clear about what is important to you for this day or this season of life or this month, even, can help you prioritize those things. And it starts by noticing yourself, your needs, and not allowing perfectionism to stop you from doing those things or trying to do those things. When you have excessively high expectations for how things are supposed to go or supposed to be, it stops you from really consistently meeting your needs. And then most likely you'll just be like, well, it didn't count, so it doesn't matter. And then you like swing on this roller coaster of sometimes meeting your needs and sometimes not, and or doing things that would be considered like a self-sabotaging behavior or like a like self-protection mechanism of avoiding things, procrastinating, doing things that aren't helpful, like eating your emotions or just scrolling for hours on TikTok. And it just is, it feels like you're trying to take care of yourself, but nothing actually feels good because you're doing the wrong things. You're putting those band-aids on things that don't actually fulfill you because you're not really paying attention to yourself to know. And look, I don't watch a lot of TV. TikTok is my TV, so I get it. I'm not shaming TikTok or any kind of social media platform. If that's your way of unwinding, totally do that. But what happens is, and I know this from my clients, is that you're like, yeah, I just wanted to chill and like relax after I, put my kids to bed. And I just found myself scrolling for 3 hours or, up or staying up way too late. And not only do you miss out on sleep, which is a crucial need for parents, but also you don't actually take advantage of the time you do have by yourself to do things like read or be creative or go for a walk or go outside, doing things that might help you. To actually feel taken care of. And again, I don't know if there's ever going to be a day where you feel like everything is taken care of. But I want you to be in a place where you feel mostly taken care of, right? And then also just noticing when you say, I need this, I need that, noticing what your brain thinks of as your needs. And that's one way to notice yourself and notice your needs. And here's the other reality, is that you are imperfect human, okay? And you're surrounded by other imperfect humans. No one else is going to be perfect. This is another way that perfectionism stops us from fulfilling our needs, is we might vent to our husband or vent to a friend, and they might not say the exact right thing, but we still can see the benefits of what we got, right? Don't get hung up on the nitty-gritty details. And I'm not saying only like just forget, just go to the friend that always says the wrong thing. No, I'm saying use your best judgment, talk to the people who get you and understand you. But even then, you might think, wow, they didn't tell me these exact same words. And the next time you say, can you tell me that I am not being dramatic? Sometimes I tell my best friend that. I'm like, I just need you to tell me that this is not being dramatic. Even though I might be being dramatic, I just want someone else to validate that these emotions are normal. You might have to be very specific with people, but don't get caught up in the idea that this person has to perform a very specific role in your life. Because other people also have needs, and we want to make sure that we're thinking of them as people and not just characters in our life to help fulfill our needs, right? Connection is really important, and it's going to be given to you imperfectly. Just because we are all humans, we're all going to have imperfect ways of speaking. Sometimes I don't know what the right thing to say is all the time when someone confides in me. But I think there is value in being able to hold space for people with difficult emotions. And I find that when I am able to talk through things and be a verbal processor, that fulfills a need right there. And I notice I don't actually need people to say the right thing to me all the time. I can do my best at communicate what I like to hear from people. And also, sometimes the things that I don't love that people say are still things I needed to hear, still things that from outside perspective were helpful or just a little bit more insightful to a situation that I might not have thought of. And so, not expecting people to perform these roles, instead accepting people as just human and letting people love you in their unique way is going to help you also recognize, like, yeah, I fulfilled this need by being able to talk to my friend about this issue, and it was really helpful. And that felt good. And notice when those things feel good. It's not just noticing like what you need, but also notice when you feel like you're getting those needs met. When you believe it has to be these all or nothing moments, you might not being able to give yourself credit for fulfilling those needs. Sometimes it's like when you meet a friend for coffee and you can only spend about 45 minutes or an hour with them. And whenever I do this, like get to meet a friend in California that I haven't seen in a long time. I love in-person socialization, and when that happens, I find myself thinking like, oh, I just want this to go on forever, right? I love feeling connected to my friends or family. Or when I go to travel to see my family and I'm like, man, I just want this to last forever. Or when I go on a date with Jeff, I'm like, I don't want the night to end. I just love this like cocoon of time that we've spent together. And it just, because in my mind, I'm thinking that once this coffee date ends or once this experience ends, the connection ends. But that's not true, because connection is an emotion that you're feeling created by your thinking. And your connection, your feeling connected to people, can be continuously there regardless of when the coffee date ends. And I'm not saying stop going for coffee dates. I'm saying that you don't have to think that the 45 minutes you had was not enough. You can say, wow, that was so great that I had that. And I can still feel connected to that person until our next coffee date or until the next time I get to see them. And there are lots of other ways to feel connected to people. I like sending mail, like snail mail. That's a fun way to feel connected to people. And there are just like so many things that you can do now online and in social media and things like that to just still feel connected to people. And so letting those forms of connection fill that cup. Ideally, I could spend all day with my best friends or people who make me just feel really good to spend around them. But again, it's just not realistic because they have lives, I have lives, and I'm not living on a commune where I can just spend all day with my friends. And even then, I probably have to contribute somehow in the labor, to make the commune run. Anyone want to be on a commune with me so we can just sit around for hours and take care of each other's kids? I just love connection. And so the point of all that is saying that when you find something you like a lot, like I really love connecting with people, you might find that you're chasing that connection. And you're like, oh, I just really wish I could have that again. And I can't until I have that other coffee date or that another date with my spouse or that other thing that's just out of reach. You can find ways to connect in different ways. So a lot of times fulfilling your needs is going to come from creativity. And again, you can have an ideal version, but don't let that perfectionism stop you from thinking it's all or nothing. Like it's coffee dates every week, or I don't feel connected to my friends at all. It's a date night every month, or I can't feel connected to my spouse at all. I used to think like a date night at home was less than a date night outside of the home. Ideally, a date night for me is outside of the home. But when we add a date night or two in our house, I can still take the time to appreciate that alone time and that connection with my husband. And I still let that be good enough because otherwise, the option, the alternative, is that I don't let it be enough and my thoughts create disconnection in those moments. My thoughts are actively doing the opposite of what I want. And so, if you want to create more connection, it starts with how you're thinking of the actions that you think will create your emotions. The actions are not going to create your emotions. Your feelings are created by your thinking. So how you are thinking about what fulfills you will make a huge impact on your fulfillment and in your life. Here is a few list of tips to help identify your needs and meeting those needs. One, be specific as possible when you're communicating them. If you're communicating them to yourself, try to be as specific as you can, but especially to other people. Like, instead of saying, I just need some alone time to your spouse, say, I need an hour locked in our bedroom without having anything to do with the children, with noise-canceling headphones on and my Kindle. That's something I actually have said. A variation. I'm like, I'm locking the door. Or Jeff will be like, I'll lock you in, right? Like, this is how we say, like, we need some serious separation. I'm feeling hangry. This is something that I've noticed that if I just say out loud to my kids or my spouse, it just is so much easier. It takes off the pressure for myself. Just saying your needs out loud often takes off the pressure and stress of whatever turmoil or urgency or tension you have within your body. Being able to say, hey, I am so sorry. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just feeling really hangry. So if we can solve the hunger part of the situation, especially if dinner time is rolling around, then things will be easier for everybody, right? Sometimes I just have to throw that out there. Guys, I'm just feeling a little hungry and frustrated. Let's just figure out dinner. I get overstimulated by noise and my kids are older and louder. I did not realize that kids got louder as they got older. I have three different little girls who are running around, singing, dancing, screaming, tickling, fighting, yelling at each other. Like the fighting has gotten so much different as they've gotten older. Like I feel like I'm out of the baby years. My youngest is 5, and this transition has been so interesting to me. Of like think identifying as like I have older kids. I don't have babies anymore. I don't even have toddlers anymore. Although I still think of Ro as my baby, I don't have actual babies. And so I have these older kids that I'm learning how to have all three older kids. I was always used to having a baby at least. But now that I have all three of them in this category of like older children, my needs as a parent have changed. My tactics have had to change because it's just different now. And it's messier, I feel like they've gotten older and it's gotten messier and louder. And oh, the fighting is just constant. So when I'm feeling overstimulated, I have to say those things to myself first. And I often have to catch it I don't catch it immediately. Like it's like halfway through, and then I'm like, oh, the reason why I'm feeling so tense or snappish is because I'm feeling really overstimulated. For me, noise canceling headphones really help. And it's annoying for those people around me. Sometimes my husband gets annoyed and is like, can you just take your headphones out? Because I have to say, but, because I don't hear everyone. But more than not, I choose noise canceling headphones because my need to feel less overstimulated outweighs other people's annoyance. You might not take care of your needs because of someone else's convenience, and that will prevent you from taking care of yourself. And oftentimes, you just need to choose yourself in those moments so that you can actually extend yourself to take care of others. I am a better mom if I have less stimulation. And one of the ways I can do that is by having some noise cancellation. Not all the time, because that can be unsafe, but definitely for parts of the afternoon or if it's really loud, I can put noise canceling headphones in when my kids are just running around screaming. Beginning to notice these things takes some time, so I want you to be patient with yourself. And definitely the conversation is never, how can I fit in my needs after taking care of everyone else, but how can everyone get their needs met today? Right? And prioritize, obviously, there are going to be some priorities of maybe you have a sick child, they're going to be a priority. Maybe a child has a dance recital, they're a priority. But you are allowed to be a priority too. If you've had a few rough days, prioritize yourself, prioritize your needs, prioritize your rest. And that can look different. That can be a lazy day on the couch. It can be getting your kids to the park and giving them some time to burn some energy. And you, again, creativity and curiosity are going to be your best friends, but you can also prioritize yourself. And I like to think of it as like, how can everyone get their needs met as best as possible, right, in this moment? What does that look like? And the next step is going to be experimenting. You're not always going to get it right, and perfectionism hates this. Perfectionism says you should always know exactly how to take care of yourself. And if you've asked for kid-free time, you should be able to spend every second of that kid-free time perfectly. You need to be able to get rid of that mentality because otherwise you're just going to prevent yourself from actually taking care of yourself. You're not going to get it perfect every time. The fear of failure puts so much pressure on you that you don't even actually take advantage of the time you do have, and then it doesn't count, right? Because you just like messed it up. No, just take some chances, experiment with your alone time. I like puzzles, but I don't always love doing them for my alone time because of the investment involved. And so they're not always the right choice for me. And I've learned that through experimenting. I need to be in the right mindset to do a puzzle after my kids go to bed. And I want you to remind yourself that there are always going to be more nights where you can read, where you can be creative, where you can figure this out. You don't have to have all the answers all at once. You don't have to fulfill your needs all at once. I want you to think of nurturing yourself like a garden. You are watering yourself. You are watering yourself, and the more you do this, even if it's sprinkling, the more you're going to nurture yourself. What happens is you think the few sprinkles you got today don't count, but a few sprinkles of rain every day fosters that continual nurturing. So, if you enjoyed this episode, share it with a friend who could need this advice, this kind of roadmap to identifying your needs. If you have questions about this, I would love to help you identify your needs and help you come up with some creative ways to help you fulfill them. Or if you want help identifying your needs or creative ideas to fulfill those needs when your ideal option is not available. So if your ideal option is meeting people in person, but that's not available to you right now, or if your ideal version is alone time every day, but that's not available to you right now, come check out the Facebook group and share and ask some questions, and I can help you troubleshoot that. And if you want to begin coaching and really digging into these things where you can look at your needs and prioritize yourself so that you can create self-intimacy, self-emotional trust, being able to have the tools to regulate and the mindset to be able to implement this, please do not hesitate to schedule a consultation. I love consults because I do an exercise with you that goes through essentially what your needs are and where you're at in your life. And this is why I designed this, so that we can look at your needs and create a roadmap of what will actually get you there. It's completely free and it's very it's very exploratory, and there's no pressure to purchase coaching. All of my information on my prices is on my website and available also on my scheduling thing, my calendar that you schedule your consults with. So it's all very transparent, but consults, if you're a little bit interested, are a great way to help you understand what coaching does, and then we can have a conversation about what it would look like to work together. So thank you so much for listening, and I will see you next time.
The episode is over, but there's so much more you can get from our Facebook group. Come to the Mindset for Medical Moms Facebook group community at the link in the show notes and discuss all the things about the podcast. Also, you can get coached for free. Come and ask me questions and connect with fellow medical moms. I hope to see you there. Thank you so much.